Support for WYPR comes from University of Maryland Medical System, committed to advancing the health of Maryland through academic medicine. With locations across the state, care is delivered close to home. Learn more at ummms.org.
And welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. By the way, coming up tomorrow, it's Midday on Transportation with guest host Erica Kane. Erica will speak with Brian O'Malley of the Central Maryland Transportation Alliance and Quan Wyatt of the Fund for Educational Excellence. So I hope you'll join Erica and her guests tomorrow here on Midday. And now it's Midday at the Movies. Jed Dietz, the founding director of the Maryland Film Festival, joins me along with Eric Hatch, who's a co-founder and the programmer of the New Next Film Festival, which is produced each year by Baltimore Public Media. Gentlemen, and I use that term loosely, don't let it go to your heads. Good to see you both. So, Eric, the New Next Film Festival is on the books for October 1st through 4th, but you are currently, as we speak, accepting nominations.
Correct. Yeah. This will be our fourth edition, October 1st through 4th at the Charles. And we just opened up our call for entries online. So if you go to newnextfilmfest.com, click through the submissions tab. We've already received about 200 movies and we've only been asking for them for about a month. So yeah, it's going to be a big crop.
And how long do you take entries?
Until June. But anyone who's interested in sending work, I would recommend doing it sooner rather than later because the fees, as it gets closer to deadline, go up gently. So you'll save some bucks if you send us your work sooner.
And you watched, I think last time we talked, some 700 movies or something to choose the ones for the festival.
I think it's going to be 1,000 this year. So, yeah. You know, have me in your thoughts.
Yeah. So you are going to be a very cheap and unavailable date for quite a while.
That's right. Enjoy me while you have me.
Yeah. There's also an archive that you've started of movies that have already been screened at the New Next Film Festival.
Yes. Yeah, so what I've done is created a public-facing document that you can also access through New Next's website on our Archives tab. And what that is a simple list of everything that we screened in the history of the festival, so the three editions so far. Wow. And then I've contacted each filmmaker or representative of the film to source the best information about how you can watch it at home. So that might mean streaming, that might mean YouTube or Vimeo, or that might mean physical media. But for every film from 23 and 24 that we screened, in 90% of the cases, they are available to watch at home now. And also on that page, we've set it up so that you can download the program books and read them in sort of book form rather than scrolling endlessly online. So you can kind of at your leisure look through the past programs and continue and engage with these films.
Yeah, and find some movies that maybe, you know, you weren't able to catch at the thing. Generally speaking, what do you expect between the 1st and 4th of October in terms of numbers of films? And of course, the number's a little funky because, you know, some of them are short films. You know, they're 5 minutes long. Others are 2 hours long.
Yeah, we're usually in the neighborhood of about 30 feature films and then about 10 shorts programs, each one running 90 minutes or less. So it'll be over 100 films in total. But again, about 2/3 of those are short films.
Yeah, and Jed, as you do every year, you went to the Sundance Film Festival out in Park City, Utah for the last time, huh? What was the mood out there this year?
It was pretty upbeat, I think mostly because of the art form. I mean, it's interesting. I've just been reading numbers of the Grammys are down again for the second year in their audience on television. Park City was jammed and with a wide variety of movies, none of which you've heard of. You know, I mean, these are all emerging filmmakers. I think 60% of the films that they were showing this year were made by first-time or second-time filmmakers. And that's sort of their mission. What it's going to be like in Boulder, I don't think anybody knows yet. We'll see.
Why are they moving? Is there a particular reason?
No, I don't think a particular reason. Both the city
I mean, Robert Redford, Mr. Redford, who founded the Sundance Film Festival, passed away.
Yes.
Did that have anything to do with it? Was he a big promoter of Park City?
Well, he was a big promoter and fell in love with those mountains and bought a big piece of land after he got some money from Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. And he's done a huge amount for the film community through the Sundance Labs, which sort of incubate movies with directors and writers and actors from big-time Hollywood movies, but outside of Hollywood. And after he did that and it was successful and they launched a bunch of careers at that point, These were movies that the Hollywood people weren't going to market, and he really wanted a film festival to help launch them a little bit into the marketplace. So American independent cinema became sort of the focal point of what was originally the USA Film Festival and became Sundance.
Yeah, and you can't imagine any one person having the kind of impact, the kind of effect, the kind of legacy that Robert Redford had on the independent film industry.
It was really visionary. I mean, you think of the people just looking at the labs. I mean, Quentin Tarantino, Paul Thomas Anderson, Wes Anderson, Ryan Coogler. I mean, and this Sundance Film Festival, you saw films that those filmmakers for sure are going to be making movies 10, 15 years from now.
Let's listen to a clip about a movie called Witness. This is an interview that was conducted by the Hollywood Reporter with the director of this documentary, Don Porter, and it describes the genesis of this movie, which is based here in Baltimore. It's called When a Witness Recants, and it was executive produced by Sarah Rodriguez and Ta-Nehisi Coates, who is a Baltimore native and doesn't live here anymore. But this is an interesting movie, which is one of the movies that was screened at Sundance this year.
Sarah Rodriguez called me up. She knew I had done a lot of films about the criminal legal system and about injustice and wrongfully convicted people, or even people who were convicted but treated terribly. So Sarah called me and she said, we have this story. It's based on a New Yorker article about these three teenagers who were wrongfully convicted, spent 36 years in prison before the Conviction Integrity Unit. They were released. And she said, do you think you would? I was like, Sarah, are you kidding me? this film was a challenge because they were in prison. Mm-hmm. There was not a lot of footage. There were not a lot of photos. And so we really had to think about how we would bring the story to life in a way that really honored and helped people understand what they had gone through.
And of course, they did ultimately receive a multi-million dollar settlement and stuff. It was big news around here, but it's great. You know, Eric, it's great to have documentary filmmakers, you know, really exploring these things in depth, and it kind of doesn't matter that it happened a few years ago. It's just really an important story to be told. You watch a lot of documentaries before you pick the ones
absolutely
that you screen at New Next Film Festival. What criteria do you use? How do you decide, this one's in, this one's out?
Well, it's a little instinctual at this point because I've been doing this for 20 years, but you're really sort of programming a group of films as much as any individual one. Each one should have excellence. Each one should speak to the moment or something that resonates today. But you also want to populate a full slate that feels very wide-ranging, both in topics and in artistry, and covers, of course, the very diverse topics and representation on screen as well.
And
it's interesting. I mean, just one of the ones that Eric picked last year, Natchez, is written up today in the New York Times, a beautiful piece on it, too.
Yeah, so you catch it in New Next Film Festival, and you just wait 10 months, and the New York Times catches up with you. That's a nice thing. Eric Hatch is here. He is the programmer and co-founder of the New Next Film Festival. Jed Dietz, back in the day, founded the Maryland Film Festival and served as its director for, 120, 130 years, something like that. And it's Midday at the Movies. If you've got a movie that you're making sure that you're going to see this weekend, give us a call, 410-662-8780. Let us know what you're going to be watching. You can drop us an email, too, midday@wypr.org. You mentioned, Jed, Paul Thomas Anderson. His big movie, One Battle After Another, did quite well in the early awards so far this year and is up for an Academy Award. Let's listen to a little scene from One Battle After Another. This is Leonardo DiCaprio. He plays a guy named Bob. He's being pursued by the law, and he gets in touch with some folks from this radical network he used to be involved in, but he's having trouble that connecting because evidently he's forgotten one of the secret passwords.
Rise and shine.
Bat an eyelash.
Good morning.
There are no hands on the clock.
Why?
Because they're not needed.
What time is it?
You know, I don't remember that part. All right, let's just not nitpick over the passwords. This is Bob Ferguson. I was a part of the French 75. Steve Lockjaw just attacked my home. And I cannot remember, for the life of my only child, the answer to your question.
Maybe you should have studied the rebellion text a little harder.
I need to find my daughter.
Well, then call us back when you have the time.
You just...
There you go. The joys of two-factor authentication right there in the movies. You know? This movie's going to do pretty well at the Academy Awards. You got to imagine that it will.
I mean, the way it's coming through the award season, you would certainly guess that it will do well.
Another movie you and I have talked about, it's at the Charles right now, Sentimental Value.
Yes.
About a director and whether or not his daughter will agree to be cast in a movie that he's doing and the dynamics between those. So there, you know, now is the time. I mean, Eric, do you watch the Academy Award nominee movies too, on top of all of the indie movies that you're checking out for the New Next Film Festival?
On a case-by-case basis, you know, I sort of liken watching the Oscars for my personal taste to like following the baseball season after the O's have been eliminated, you know, and like the big money teams are competing and we're just not in contention whatsoever. So I certainly a film like Sentimental Value or The Secret Agent, which was also at the
also
Charles.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah, those are sort of films that speak to me a little bit more than most of the major releases.
And your opening night film from last fall is at the Rotunda.
Yeah, Obex, made by Baltimorean Albert Burney. You know, that's a profile film that I can really get behind and hope that Baltimore comes out to support.
Yeah, I missed
more.
That one last year, but when it was at New Next, but I hear great things about it.
It's so, really a creative work.
Yeah, good friend. Is there a theme to New Next? I mean, did you ever do themes too, Jed, when you did Maryland Film Festival?
No, you
pick good movies, right?
Well, and emerging filmmakers was certainly something. I mean, we're, again, not quite so interested, not that we have anything against great directors and great actors, but not so much in the ones that are getting all the marketing support. You're trying to support other films coming out.
I have a lot against great directors and great actors. That's a different conversation. I mean, let me tell you, sometimes those guys just tick me off. But I mean, Erica, you're not really looking for particular issues, particular, sort of literary themes to be, you're just looking for good movies.
Right. I mean, I feel like programming with a theme would be kind of like going into a science experiment with a predetermined idea of what the results should be, and it can really skew the results. You got to be really open and receptive to, you know, what artists are making and what stories they're telling and finding, you know, the cream of that crop.
I know the Parkway Theater just last night had an event where filmmakers were screening works that are in progress. So works that hadn't been finished yet, and they were screening them for folks and then having conversations about it. So people were throwing in their two cents about what they thought, you know, hey, you may want to explore this. That's an interesting idea, to let people show works that aren't finished yet and get, you know, sort of little focus groups about how they think it should turn out.
I mean, I don't know whether Eric would agree with this, but I mean, I think one of the most important things emerging filmmakers can do is to make a film. And if their resources are limited, it might be a 5-minute film, it might be a 10-minute film, and the subject might be something they think is much bigger, but and then show it to people, because that's when you really learn what's working and what isn't. And I don't mean like just because they talk to you, but watch it with them and you'll really get a sense of what's working in the movie.
We are basically out of time, but we have a caller, Donna in Baltimore. And Donna, we were going to sneak in real quick. What's your question for Eric and Jed?
I wanted to know if the current film festival or the archives for previous film festivals that you've been discussing offer audio description for the blind.
It's on a case-by-case basis. The film itself and the streaming service itself will determine that. So many do, to find that information, you'll have to click through to the individual titles to determine, unfortunately.
Great. Well, thank you for that question, Don. I appreciate it. And Jed, always good to see you. Eric,
good
to see you as well.
Thanks for having me.
And get your submissions in. You go to the New Next Film Festival website and throw your hat in the ring. You never know what will happen.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
All right. Well, that has been this somewhat abbreviated edition of Midday at the Movies, but we'll be back next month to talk about the Oscars, which are coming up at the end of March. And up next, after a quick break, today, our weekly theater review with J. Wynn Russick. We're going to talk about The Great Gatsby. That's the current offering at Baltimore's Hippodrome Theater. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Stick around.